Now, joining me on the telephone is Senator John Dolan, independent, and who is the current CEO of Disability Federation of Ireland. On Thursday, April the 19th, 2018, Ireland commenced the long-awaited implementation of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with a Disability. Now, Ireland must honour its 2007 commitment. John will be discussing this and his campaign to make sure that it is finally and fully implemented, not just for the benefit of those with a disability, but also for those in our increasingly progressive society. You're very welcome, John, and thank you for joining us on Near FM.
Good morning, Michael. Glad, delighted to be with you.
Okay, John, while we last spoke on the air in February the 16th last, can you remind our listeners about the background to the UN Convention on Disabilities and how it came about?
Well, I suppose around the turn of this century, from the late 90s into the noughties, there were a number of people and entities around the world with a disability interest who, I suppose, very quickly came to the view or were very clear that the rights of people or the rights of people with disabilities across the globe were being taken for granted or were not being implemented. And I don't want to be highfalutin about using the word rights. What we're really talking about is if somebody has a disability and if somebody else doesn't have, the person who doesn't have has much easier mobility, access to transport, access to schools, services, the whole gamut. Whereas that's, to put it mildly, problematic for people with disabilities. And so they convinced the United Nations to adopt a convention, a treaty, an international treaty. It's their first one of this century, which is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. The most important, and that was done in December 2006. The most important thing about that treaty is that it confers no rights on people with disabilities, because it takes a view, and rightly, that people, by virtue of the fact that you're a human being, you have human rights.
Right, okay.
To be able to participate in society. And the very first treaty of the UN in December 1948, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, simply said, you know what? By virtue of simply being a human being, you have human rights, you have fundamental rights. And let me go from that now. Our Constitution in 1937. In 1937 that we first gave to ourselves.
Yes.
Modern Constitution. That has a section on fundamental rights. It talks about the fundamental rights that every person has. And and we've developed those since then. So that's really it. You go from 1948 to 2006, 58 years. And the way I style it and say is it took the United Nations and all the states that have now ratified the convention, most states around the world have, to actually acknowledge that they hadn't managed to honour and value the rights, the human rights of people with disabilities over those 60 years.
Yes.
That's why the convention doesn't give new rights. But it does drill down into very practical things. That you can have a home of your own and live with those you choose to live with, that you can access public transport, that you can be educated like anybody else in the community, that you can have employment. It gets down into the nitty-gritty. What does it look like if your rights are being valued? It means you can be out and about. It means the support you need to be able to participate are provided to you. So it's a practical document.
Yes.
Difference, I'll just finish with this, Michael, then you want to get on. When a state signs it, which we did in March 2007, we're saying, we're promising at some future date to ratify, to bring this treaty into our country, and we get on with implementing it. And they ratified it, as you said, on in early
April the 19th, yeah. I think, was it?
April the 19th is 30 days after the decision was made in Ireland. So that's the day it officially starts.
Okay.
The clock started ticking on the 19th. We won't be fussy about February, March, April.
Sure.
The clock starts ticking. Ireland, our state, our government, and the people of Ireland have said to the world, have given their promise, put it in that kind of way, to the rest of the world, to the states in the world and the United Nations, that we now are going to have a plan, and that year by year, bit by bit, we will put things right for people with disabilities.
Yes. So, John, about how many people are affected by this in Ireland?
Well, the census now, for the last number of census, have given us, have quantified the number of people with disabilities. The one in 2016 said there are 643,000 people. That includes now all your mental health, hidden disabilities, very obvious ones, clearly,
sure,
etc. So the whole gamut. And it is important to say that not every one of those 600,000 need high-end day-to-day specialised services.
Yes.
Many will need supports from time to time, and they need public, what all need is public services that face them and that actually say, yeah, you need to use transport. Public transport needs to be fit for you to use. You see, the revolution in education is a great example of what we've already done.
Yes.
It is normal now to see children with extensive disabilities sitting in the same classroom with the other kids from the neighbourhood. It's normal that they're living in their neighbourhood and not in an institution. So there's some of the revolutions. That's an example of the change, revolutionary change that has already began in some areas. That needs to happen now across all the different domains. People with disabilities are twice as likely to be unemployed. The unemployment rate amongst people with disabilities is twice what it is for others. There's a lot of grounds to be made up in terms of education attainment as well. So there's huge lacks in practical day-to-day support services for people, personal social services, things like that.
Yes, indeed, John. I recently spoke to Anita Matthews of the Irish Wheelchair Association, you know, the podcast which is on our website, about the particular difficulties of people with disabilities in relation to public transport and how they often wait for hours. I had a blind girl I interviewed here with her stick who stayed at a bus stop for 2 solid hours because no bus driver would stop, which is actually in breach of their regulations, I believe. But this goes on and on. Why, in your view, has Ireland been so slow to rat invention? I know it's on the go since sometime around 2007, at least.
Well, OK, let's see what's happened in Ireland since 2007. The 18 months after March 2007, we found ourselves in a very, very difficult position where there mightn't be money to pay people and whatever.
Sure.
So our whole headset as a country went into to rescue mode. So, and you had those very difficult years. Now, having said that, ratification of the convention means that you're getting on with a plan to actually implement it. It doesn't say you have to have it done in 5 years or 10 years. It doesn't tell you what you must do first and what you must do second. It simply says the state must have a plan. We could have ratified then. Certainly in 2011, the then government coming in said they would ratify the convention. They didn't. Then 2 years ago, this time 2 years ago, we had a new programme for government and it was stated that it would be done by the end of 16. That didn't happen. In the middle of last year, I was quite active with the two candidates for leadership of Fine Gael at the time, Simon Coveney and Leo Bradcar.
Yes.
And I wrote to both of them. I wrote to both of them and said, look, there was commitments to ratifying the convention. Will you get on and do it? And you've passed a number of markers that you gave yourselves. And Leo Varadkar came back and said, yes, even if we have to change the process, we will implement it before the end of the year. That's before the end of 2017. Now, it was actually technically passed through the Dáil in the first week of March. So that was pretty much eventually kept to, yeah?
Yes.
So I think it has to do with, now, and the change of process was they kept saying that Ireland never ratifies international treaties until they have all the necessary legislation in place to implement it.
Yes.
This was different. They didn't need to have all the legislation in place. They need to. They could make putting the legislation in place part of their a plan to implement it. But they kept holding on to that year and year, and there were slow and more delays about that legislation. So Leo Varadkar just said, turned that all over, turned it around, said, look, we're going to ratify it, and we will get those necessary pieces of legislation in place by the end of this year. So in essence, there needs to be a change of culture and mindset and attitude.
Yes.
To actually, you know, sometimes a family has to say, do you know what, certain things we just have to do, and then we figure out how we do them. But you have to kind of give a commitment to the kids that we find a way to make this happen. And then you work at it. You don't keep saying to them, oh, you know what I mean? You don't just let it go and then, oh, we can't and we'll see next year. Sometimes you have to say, look, I'm committed to doing this, and we'll start doing our damnedest to do it. So often it's an attitude change that's required. To actually free up the capacity to start problem solving.
Yes, okay, John. Now, but now that we have actually ratified it, what are the main advantages in this for the average disabled person? Basically, what will change in the average disabled person's life as a result of this treaty being ratified?
Well, I'd be very stark about that. Maybe nothing will change if nothing is done. What the ratification means is that the state has given its promise to have a program of a stepped up program year by year to implement things, right?
Yes.
If it doesn't really get on with that, if it's tardy and slow about that, not a lot will change, and not a lot will change quickly. What it does do, it gives people with disabilities, their organizations and families, a bigger stick to beat the government with, if you want to put it in those terms.
Right, okay.
Like you say, well, look, you have given your promise to the world that you're going to do the right thing. Show us your plan. Now, the plan, if you were writing the plan, if I was writing the plan, or if one of your listeners would write it, you'd get three different plans.
Sure.
Some of the things I'd have up front, you might have pushed back a bit, and something else up front. So the plan can vary. It's the government's plan, and it's up to us as people with disabilities and organisations to say, look, here are there's two critical pieces of legislation to be done by the end of this year. That has to be honoured. There's an optional protocol in the convention which they had originally said they would sign or ratify, and they haven't, which would give people the right to take a complaint to the United Nations if they felt their rights were being infringed.
Yes, okay.
Now, you can't just wake up in the morning and say, my rights are infringed enough, I'm going to the UN. You have to go through all the local mechanisms. I think it was quite a pity that they didn't actually ratify that. And I would be saying that should be done now, or certainly by the end of this year. There's huge gaps in very critical services for people with disabilities. And supports that the employment thing I've mentioned.
Yes.
You know, and your listeners know, there's still glaring gaps and compromises that people with disabilities have to make when it comes to public transport.
Yes.
Specific services, personal assistance, aids and appliances. You saw a case, it was on prime time the week, 2 weeks ago, a young lad less than four. His mother had to go on prime time. They couldn't provide him with the necessary type of wheelchair he needed to support him and protect him. By the end of the programme, the HSE had actually come on and said, that's sorted out. That's appalling.
It is, actually. It really is. I remember.
And there's other instances that, you know, it's like you have to go and prostrate yourself in front of the public.
Sure, I'll go on the Joe Duffy show and give the most confidential private information over the airwaves. And it was horrifying. But, Senator Dolan, do you think that clearly there is change needed in the various government departments? And do you think that they're willing to reform individually and collectively in the short term to facilitate the practical implementation of the convention? Does a leopard change its spots? Is basically what I'm asking.
I think we're all leopards in some ways. If I've been used to, or you're used to, 5 mornings a week travelling to a certain location in your car or your bicycle or whatever it is, and you change your work or change, you're going somewhere else, you'll find yourself some mornings actually turning up in the wrong place. It is difficult to change habits. You can write it in strategies that you're going doing it this way. You can have guidelines, you can have protocols, but it's very, very hard change behaviour. Why have we so many people who continually smoke who don't want to smoke?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's hard to change behaviours. It's easy to write that we have new policies, but it's actually difficult. So I'm not saying that to slag off departments or whatever. It is hard to bring in change, even at a personal level, a family level, work level. And then in terms of government systems, that is difficult. And we're often, God knows, if you look at all the issues that we've had about how we've treated people in Ireland in the past, all the different scandals and whatever, and the running sore of child abuse and various things.
Absolutely. So, and the HSE up to its neck in it eternally. Can I just ask you, John, one quick thing?
Yep.
Because how can disabled people, their friends, help to ensure that this convention, now that it's ratified, is fully and successfully implemented? Is there anything that the individual disabled person can do?
I think they must keep it in front of politicians, keep it in front of public bodies, and just talk about it.
Sure.
Now, the convention itself isn't, it's 40 or 50 articles or set pieces in it that talks about employment, education, personal assistance, having your own voice, being listened to, the health, income. So you can actually go in, and people now with the internet and whatever, go and look at it, and if there's an issue to housing,
yes,
those things are all set out there. And the fact is, the government made a decision, and the cabinet to bring a resolution to the Dáil, and the Dáil agreed it. We have signed up for what's written in black and white there, and that black and white is about so many ordinary things that I've just listed some of them off the top of my head there. So I think that it's important for people in whatever little way they can, because people's lives are busy. Family members of disability are often busy trying to support people. And that's something that needs to be acknowledged and understood as well and appreciated.
Okay.
But that's it. Talk to their TDs, talk to their senators,
Keep the pressure on, basically.
Just keep it on, and you know, sometimes when you have to know something about something, if you mention it to a TD or a senator and they're not brushed up on it, well, they're going to have to, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, you just bring it to their attention, really.
Have a few pages and read it. You get their attention and you start working on it, yeah?
Okay, John, so could you give our listeners contact details for the Disability Federation of Ireland? I'm sure that your federation can actually provide further information on the detail of this convention, and I'm sure other services and other information on other disability issues.
I certainly can. The DFI website is www.disability-federation.ie, and our phone number is a Dublin number, 01 0845 47978. People might also try their own local community information service. Should be able to help them. Their libraries should be able to give them access to the convention.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean. So there's before people start going off to disability, there's places in their own community where they can find out more. So I'd say the Citizen Information Service locally and their local library would certainly
be able to assist them.
No trouble in kind of to assist them. Yeah.
Okay. And John, just to ask you now, is there any point not already mentioned in relation to this that you would particularly like to highlight yourself?
I'll tell you. I'm glad you, that's like a cliche, I'm glad you asked me that question.
Right. It's a great politician's answer. It's usually followed by, first let me explain.
Exactly. And in fairness to you didn't go down that route with me. But pretty much everyone is aware of that government is dealing with three big issues at the moment. The housing crisis, Brexit and Northern Ireland, right? And
yes,
it will from time to time talk about the health crisis. But up into that division one of issues that government has to deal with must go implementation of this convention. And let me put it in a different language. We have a job to do to emancipate people with disabilities in this country, to make their lives free and easy.
Yes.
That's work that's hanging there since the foundation of the state. And it hasn't happened. That's as important, if not more important, than the other, as important as those other three or four issues.
Right,
but it
okay.
never gets named. I think that's, and if, in terms of people listening to us and people with disabled families, I think they have to insist. Do you know what? You can't ratify this convention and then let on you don't have a big job of work to do and you don't
yes.
name it up on your division one of issues. Yeah?
Correct, yes. Look, John, that makes a lot of sense. And thank you very much for joining us on Lifeline on Near FM today. And Senator Dolan, I look forward to speaking to you again soon. So
great.
Bye for now. Thank you again.
Thanks, and thanks for your interest, and good morning to your listeners. Bye-bye now.
Good morning, John. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Thanks.